Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of the Cult Popture Podcast was brought to you by our Patreon. If you want to tell us which films we should watch, get up to 2 extra exclusive podcasts a month, give us something to talk about in the post-credits scene at the end of each episode, or join us for our monthly Movie Club Zoom call where we discuss a film together, then please consider joining the cult and donating at www.patreon.com/cultpopture.
Richard of the podcast, what have you got to say? Richard of the podcast, watch out for that hard pee. But we've got pop filters. We protect ourselves, yeah. Unlike George. There's no tree filters, there's no nets to stop him crashing into those trees. Richard, cut me off anytime you feel ready. If you want to get through this.
Welcome to the Cult Popture Podcast. I was just going to let you do the whole podcast by yourself.
A dream of mine.
Yeah.
Something I'm very confident that I can do by myself.
I've done a whole podcast by myself.
Yeah, well, you can. You're better.
You have 10,000 TikTok followers.
I have 12,000 actually, but thank you.
Let's get this out of the way up top. Okay. If you're joining us from TikTok,
I don't think anyone is. I haven't been able to.
AJ's the one that you're here for, so give them. What do you think of different generations?
Oh, here's how different generations think of George of the Jungle. Let's start with millennial. Start. Go.
This is the Cult Popture Podcast. If this is your first time flying with the Cult Popture Podcast, this is film franchise fortnights. Each fortnight we watch and discuss a different film franchise, and sometimes suggested by a Patreon, like this franchise was, which was they inexplicably chose George of the Jungle, the two film franchise from Disney at the turn of the millennium.
And it's the weirdest thing. It's the weirdest franchise the patrons have ever picked. Like, I can understand it maybe being suggested. I don't understand what compelled everyone to vote for it, especially because, like, do people know George of the Jungle 2 is a thing? It's pretty obscure. I've got a George of the Jungle 2 story, but that's me. I don't know if anyone else does. So, it's usually we get our more classical what you think of when you think of a franchise options from Patreon. It's when we randomly generate it, like we will be doing at the end of this episode, that it's
the first time in a long time, and I cannot wait. So let's get through this episode
so we can randomly draw the next one.
I just want to know what the next 2 weeks of my life are going to look like.
How exciting.
Well, that is
it is, yeah.
So this is a two film franchise. First one came out in 1997, starred Brendan Fraser, at the kind of the height of his star power. Well, not quite, because The Mummy was after this.
I feel like it was post Encino Man, pre The Mummy, Brendan Fraser. Yeah.
And he apparently got this got The Mummy because of George of the Jungle.
I feel like he got George of the Jungle because of Encino Man. They're very similar, almost the same.
But it was like explicitly Stephen Sommers saw him in George of the Jungle and thought to cast him.
That's very interesting. That's a very interesting insight into what someone like Stephen Sommers looks for in his action movie heroes.
Well, yeah, it could have been that, like, you know, he thought, oh, you know, someone like Brendan Fraser would be cool, but what if he had, like, a godlike physique? And then he saw, oh, wow, he can. But, yeah, this was followed 6 years later by a direct-to-DVD sequel, or directed video, called George of the Jungle 2. First one was directed by Sam Weisman. Second one was directed by David Grossman. And George has now, I didn't even write down who plays him in the second one. poor Christopher Schauman, who is on Wikipedia, you know, on the side has like the starring section. He is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9th
wow.
build.
Ninth build. Well, in the actual George of the Jungle 2 movie, he is also ninth build in that, but it's like introducing what's his name. I've already forgotten as George. But I guess we'll get to that because there's a lot of... I'm interested to hear your thoughts. I'm interested to hear my thoughts because I'm maybe going to formulate them as we're recording a little earlier than we usually do as an earlier in the day. It's 10 to 11, so as you can imagine, I'm very tired.
Been up all night making TikToks, reading comments.
Yeah, it's pretty much. It's the TikTok celebrity life, dude. You don't tick if you can't talk, is what they say, basically.
Yeah. it's lost on me, so...
If you start a TikTok, I can probably boost your numbers. I'll do a duet with you. That's apparently how it works.
Well, thank you very much for your act of charity. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what I would do.
Neither did I until I just made one about generation gaps, and now that's all I'm allowed to make. Apparently, according to the TikTok.
Maybe that's what I'll do.
Yeah, compete with me.
Okay, so what is George of the Jungle about, AJ?
George of the Jungle is, are we talking about what it's based on or anything like that?
Just tell me the plot of the film. What it's based on.
Okay. It is about a man named George who, several years earlier, when he was a baby, was in a plane crash in the jungle in a place called Bukavu, I think is the name of the jungle Bukavu. And no one could find the baby. And so in a very, very Tarzan-esque fashion, he grows up amongst the animals, becomes sort of king of the jungle. And then one day a expedition lady named Ursula and her evil fiancé, Lyle, show up, and Ursula is, nearly eaten by a lion, so George saves her, and they have a romantic spark together, and it ends up with everyone going to San Francisco, and everyone doesn't want Ursula to marry George. They want her to marry Lyle, but in the end, she picks George and moves back to the jungle with him, and... One thing I haven't mentioned is that these are very child-friendly slapstick comedies with heaps of silly cartoon sound effects and talking animals, and maybe, I know, at least our third franchise that stars the voice of John Cleese, but I feel like it's probably more than three because he always does shit like this. He was, of course, in Shrek and Beethoven are the two I can remember him providing his voice for.
He's been in more Christmas one, wasn't
he? And he plays the ape named Ape in both George of the Jungle movies, because John Cleese is not above a straight to video sequel.
What else is he in that we might have covered? He's in the three Spud movies.
That's the kind of work. Those are the kinds of incredible roles that John Cleese lands.
But we'll also, when we do Harry Potter, that'll be another one.
Yeah.
Although I guess he also does play him, not just... Oh, no, he is in... he's in Rudyard Kipling's The Jungle Book. That's a live-action one, though.
He would have voiced one of the animals, though.
No, it was in the Stephen Sommers one.
Did the animals not talk in that one?
No. They famously did not.
It's funny, a second Stephen Sommers connection we've just incidentally made on this episode.
Hot damn. All right, anyway, George of the Jungle, yeah. So, what, have you seen this film before?
Yeah, I'd seen this a bunch of times when I was a kid. I feel like every kid of every person of our age probably has a memory of George of the Jungle. I feel like it was on TV.
Mine is watching it the other day.
Oh, really? I feel like it was on TV a lot, and I had flashes in my head of imagery from, like, I remember him standing on the Golden Gate Bridge, because this is also our like third or fourth Golden Gate Bridge movie that we've done recently. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'd seen it a couple of times, but certainly not for like, I might not have seen it for like 20 years. It might actually be a pre-8-year-old AJ that saw this last.
Wow. What did you think of it?
I think there is a...
Just take your time. There's a very loud plane okay. flying over
here. All right. Okay, I'll take my time. What a gift you've given me. I think that there is an argument...
Normally, you only get 1 minute to tell your funny jokes, don't you?
I think that Dan in our Discord, who is this close to becoming just a mod of the Discord, and I nearly made him a mod but couldn't figure out how to do it. So hold tight, Dan. He was a big advocate for this movie. I think he might have suggested it on Patreon, and he described it as a very divisive film. And I was like, that's so interesting because. Yeah, it totally is. Like, I watched this with my flatmates, and one of them thought it was fun, and one of them was like, this is a bad movie. And I couldn't really tell. I think that, first of all, it's important to judge it on a very specific spectrum, because it is a kids' movie. And in terms of judging what it's trying to do, I think it succeeds. It is very much a live-action cartoon, essentially. And it just comes down to whether or not you enjoy that. I think I enjoy some of the performances. I enjoy some of the jokes. And some of them have buried their way into my brain a lot more than I thought. Like, everyone knows George of the Jungle, watch out for that tree. But the one that that I heard for the first time in potentially 20 years, and I was like, oh my God, I used to say this all the time, is when two of the bad guys are yelling at the narrator, and they're like, why don't you just tell us where to go? And the narrator goes, because I don't like you. And I was like, oh my God, me and my brother used to say that to each other all the time because of this movie. So yeah, I don't know. I'm struggling to find how I think about this movie. I certainly don't want to watch it again anytime soon, but it was fun, I guess. It's just not, maybe it's an age thing. Maybe I'm too old for it. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, it is funny. Yeah, because you alluded to with the narrator, but this has like a very meta and fourth wall breaking, which is turned up to 11 on the sequel. But it has a very like idiosyncratic sense of humor that is actually quite aligned with mine. And this is one of those movies that it's like, I feel like I would write this, you know, like. So I was like, make a George of the Jungle movie, and I was like in a bad mood about it. This would be like the fuck you, like kind of script I would write. But I was just really not in the mood for it when I watched it. And I think we had this when we did Austin Powers as well, is that I was like, I enjoy these movies and the these things I recognize as jokes, and I'm like, that's a good joke, but they're not making me laugh, and it's like, yeah, I just felt. But then actually when I watched the second one, I was a little bit more in the mood for it.
Yeah.
But let's just go straight into what's the second one about? Because I've only got two movies. We're going to have one big discussion rather than dividing it too much.
Sweet, sounds good.
And then we're just going to leapfrog back and forth between plot points from the first and the second movie. It's freeform jazz, this podcast.
Wow. All right, well, George of the Jungle 2 is set sometime later. George and Ursula have a child now named Junior.
A half-man.
Half-man, what do you mean?
Because he's not one of the two men. He's a half-man.
Oh, right. He's the boy from Two and a Half Men who became a Jehovah's Witness and left the show. And you can see it in his performance here. You can see it's a pre Two and a Half Men. What the fuck's his name? Jake?
Angus T. Jones.
The character's name is Jake. Oh. Angus T. Jones.
The T stands for the Angus T. Jones.
So I don't know why I started there, because really what I think this, when I like go, what's it about? It's kind of about the deed to Ape Mountain, which is where everyone lives in the Bukovu Bakuva,
yeah,
is stolen by Lyle, and they're trying to like bulldoze it and turn it into like a theme park, and it's all a big conspiracy theory, a big conspiracy put together by Lyle and Ursula's mother, who was a main character in the first film that I didn't mention, to make Ursula fall in love with Lyle again. Repeats a lot of the beats from the first film, but it ends in a different climax, which is them protecting the jungle from bulldozers and stuff. Very similar to Barbie Presents Thumbelina, which is maybe a more well-known movie than George of the Jungle 2. Sound off in the comments. So the most significant thing about this film is that a couple of the members of the cast did not return. So
a couple of the members of the cast did return and everyone else didn't.
Okay, sure. So instead of Brendan Fraser, we have, what's his name?
Someone Showerman.
What else has he done? He's playing George of the Jungle now.
It's literally like, he's known for his role as George in George of the Jungle 2.
And at the start, when you first see him, the narrator's like, "Who the heck are you?" And he's like, "Oh, me, new George. Studio too cheap to pay, Brendan Fraser." Which, I'll get to this in a second, but when I first saw this movie, I was the exact right age to think that was the funniest thing I'd ever heard in a movie.
It's quite a famous joke. I think. Like, I've seen it referenced. Mm. But yeah, if you want to come back to that, that's fine.
And also Ursula is recast. She was played by Leslie Mann in the first film. And this film, she's played by the lady from Dexter. What's her name?
Julie Benz.
And when I watched Dexter as a teenager, I remember being like, how do I know Julie? What do I know Julie Benz from? And then I was like, oh, she's in George of the Jungle. And it wasn't until this week, Richard, that it's actually because she's from George of the Jungle 2, not George of the Jungle 1. And I saw this movie more recently than George of the Jungle 1, which was still probably 20 years ago. But
you can't have seen this film 20 years ago. It wasn't out yet.
I think the last time I would have seen George of the Jungle 1, I would have been 7 or 8. And the last time I saw George of the Jungle 2 would have been 10 or 11, I think.
Mm. Put that in your talking ticket.
Yeah. All right. And yeah, I don't know if anything else needs to be said. There's a whole Las Vegas plot because the ape named Ape is now working in Las Vegas. Mm. That sort of thing.
He's sold into slavery.
Yeah. And I don't know. I guess so. I distinctly remember in 2000, when did this come out? When did this movie come out?
2003.
I distinctly remember in 2003 going to a Blockbuster with my family and seeing this on the shelf, and me and my brother being like, yo, let's get George of the Jungle 2. Because we were both very big fans of The Mummy. And have you seen the cover for George of the Jungle 2, the poster for it?
Yeah.
It looks like Brendan Fraser. we assumed it was. It looks exactly
like. Well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. And so we got it thinking it was a Brendan Fraser movie, and then quickly discovered it wasn't. I remember there's another line later in the movie where the narrator references Brendan Fraser, and I remember thinking that was funny. But
yeah,
this has always felt like a movie that I knew about that no one else knew about. Not in a proud way, not like it was my little secret, because I didn't.
it was an ashamed way.
I can tell you one thing: when I started watching this and it got to the studio too cheap to pay Brendan Fraser line, I was overcome with this feeling of like, I never thought I was going to see this movie again. this has existed as a vague memory for so long. I can't believe I'm seeing this movie again. But this watching it this time round, I think as far as straight to DVD sequels go, it's sort of its wry sense of humor and its meta narrative and the fact that it knows how cheap it is. I think it does the film favors. I think
I think as well that the first film established this as like a potential tone for it. Mm. Like if the first one had none of this and then it just started like this, you'd be like, what is happening?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It'd be like if when they recast James Bond, they had like the character look into the camera and mention that like he was played by a different actor, and that like in referencing something happening to a previous one, it would just it wouldn't work.
It would never work. And
watches on Her Majesty said,
and I think that it is a weaker movie than the first one, only because it literally doesn't have Brendan Fraser and I guess Leslie Mann, although Julie Benz is I don't know, I feel like she's about as good as Leslie Mann. So it's weaker because it doesn't have the same elements, but if this was Brendan Fraser returning for this movie, I don't know, the bar isn't set that high by the first one, so I don't think it's worse in any other respect. It's maybe a little derivative, a lot of the story beats are repeated. But yeah, I don't know, I didn't think it was too bad. Yeah.
So speaking of Brendan Fraser not returning, do you know why he didn't return?
Was he too famous? Was the studio too cheap?
No, he has no idea. He would have loved to have been asked.
What? What the hell? That is weird. Yeah. That's so weird because, like, Thomas Hayden Church, who plays Lyle, he's back. Yeah. John Cleese is back. The Sarah Paulson's wife, who plays Ursula's mum, is back. Ursula's dad's not back.
No, actually, Ursula's mum's recast.
What? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they're different actresses.
You're joking.
No,
you're pulling my nuts right now. No, I refuse to believe this. They are the same woman. They are. I still don't believe you. You're going to look this up and see that you're mistaken. That's how.
In the first movie, it's Holland Taylor. In the second one, it's Christina Pickles.
I got to look these ladies up.
So one is Evelyn Harper on 2.5 Men, and the other one is Judy Galler on Friends. And I thought they were the same person until looking at this up.
What's the second? Someone Pickles?
Holland Taylor and Julia Pickles. Christina Pickles.
Richard, this is fucking bananas, dude. This is this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. Oh my god. If everyone could please look up Holland Taylor and Christina Pickles. It's been nearly 20 years since the second film, so they look a bit different now. But if you find photos of them from around 2003 look them up in George of the Jungle, their respective.
It's pretty fucking good recasting.
It's incredible recasting. It's maybe the best recasting I've ever seen. Holy shit. And it's a George of the Jungle too. That's what I'm giving the honor of, the best recast I've ever seen. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Well, Thomas Hayden Church is back. You're not going to take that away from me.
No, it's not. Apparently in the audio commentary for Spider-Man 3, they show like Flint Marko's Thomas Hayden Church's character's like mugshot, and he's like, see, that's the one that was in George of the Jungle.
That's funny. Thomas Hayden Church is maybe the highlight of these movies for me, especially in the first one. I think he's great, and it was real fun to see him return. He gets plucked out of from the sky by the narrator at the end of the second.
Yeah, I was going to say, it ends with a bit of a deus ex machina.
Literally.
Like, literally, the most literal form of that possible. Yeah, he ends up fighting with the narrator at the end of the film. And then a literal hand of God reaches down from the heavens and pulls him up by his underwear, giving him a super seismic wedgie.
Just as he deserves. How would you rate the late 90s to mid 2000s character gets hit in the nuts trope in these films? George will fall into a tree, he'll fall down the tree and conk himself in the nuts on a branch, and it'll do a close-up of his face and his eyes go cross-eyed and he goes, boo! and like this, I feel like watching this, I was like, oh my god, this is an entire culture of mid, late 90s to mid 2000s nut shots and family friendly movies. It's like the one vaguely dirty joke they get away with, although there are a couple of dirty jokes in George of the Jungle 2 as well. There's a part where George is trying to relate to all the animals, and he's like we learned to do this together, and then he goes to a gorilla, we looked at play ape together for the first time or something.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah. All right, so how would you rank the two films?
The first one's better.
Yeah. The overwhelming majority of people agree with you, including myself. So George of the Jungle 1 has 56% on Rotten Tomatoes, and George of the Jungle 2 has, do you want to take a guess?
Doesn't have a Rotten Tomato score.
17%. We don't normally read these out, but I, you know how like Rotten Tomatoes, it doesn't have one for the second one, but does for the first one, where it reads out, it like summarizes the reviews.
Yeah, it's great. Critical consensus.
So it says, George of the Jungle is faithful to its source material, which unfortunately makes it a less than compelling feature film. Which is great that it's like, yeah, this is a good adaptation, but it's not like what it's adapting isn't very good. But yeah, so this is an adaptation of a cartoon, a famous popular cartoon, which what's your kind of knowledge of the George of the Jungle TV series?
I don't even know what it fucking looks like. I'm actually going to look it up now.
No, don't look it up for a second. But what would you assume?
So it's Jay Ward, right? Is the
Who Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Yeah, so that's sort of what I'm thinking of.
How long do you reckon it ran for?
Oh my god, it'll be something crazy like 13 episodes or something, right?
Or 17 episodes. Right. It ran from September to December 1967. It ran for 17 episodes, but the episodes were half-hour shows with 3 6-minute stories in them. One was George of the Jungle, one was Tom Slick, and one was Super Chicken. And the George of the Jungle theme song is about a minute long. So when the first movie came out, it doubled the amount of George of the Jungle content in existence.
Wow.
Because there's like about 90 minutes worth of George of the Jungle across the entire series, which is insane.
That's hilarious.
But it just has this really, really catchy theme song, and I think that's its entire legacy.
It absolutely is. Like whenever, and I like it as well. I think it's a great theme song. And when it was playing in the credits of each film, it's like I sat through the credits because I was like, I like the song. It's not even the singing I like. It's the bongo drums that I think is like it's so fucking good. Like,
catchy. And then also you're treated if you stay through to the end of the credits of the second film, which you did.
Yeah,
where the narrator is like, go on, go home. Nobody cares about these credits anyway. And then a sultry female voice comes on and says, contractually we have to show the credits. They're like, well, who are you? And she's like, I'm the narrator from Mulan. And then they end up like snuggling. Aww. But yeah, there's this movie almost like defies like critical rating, you know? Like this is, you know, Roger Ebert's review of Human Centipede, where he refuses to give it a star rating, and he says, like, this doesn't exist in a world with stars. There's no lightness in this. And I think it's, it's a bit harsher, but yeah, it's like, this doesn't exist in a world where things are judged critically, you know?
Sure.
Like, it's insane. Like, this is a 5-star movie and a 0-star movie all wrapped in one.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and it's just absolute insanity, and it's like whatever you rate it, people are going to be like, okay, you know?
Yeah. That's why I landed safely on 3 stars on my Letterboxd ranking.
I think I gave it 1. I think I was just like, this is... I want to make a statement.
Wow. And then you've forgotten what that statement was, apparently. You can't remember.
No, that's my statement.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
All right.
Okay. So there was a series that debuted in 2007.
Yes, I knew about this.
As well, called George of the Jungle. And that was It's very obviously made using flash animation.
Yeah.
It's that very distinct style.
Yeah, I'm more familiar with that cartoon than the original. Yeah.
So it came out in 2007 and finished in 2017 after two seasons, which were separated by 8 years.
Wow, that's insane. What a strange, strange legacy George of the Jungle has. Yeah. Every single addition to this franchise... it makes you go like, oh yeah, like the first is like, yeah, it's 17 episodes and George is only in 5 minutes of each episode, and you go, oh, that's pretty weird. And then like, and then they made that into a movie. Oh, that's pretty weird. And then they made a sequel to that movie 6 years later where they recast some of the most important roles, including Brendan Fraser. And you're like, oh, okay. And then they made a 2007 remake of the series despite, you know, no clamoring for it. It's like, oh, okay. And then they made a second season.
Eight years later.
Like, what is the... You know, you see things like... you see shows or movies or different IPs come back because it's like studios know that this is a trusted name.
And it's the movie that we need right now.
Yeah, right. And so, that's what it is. It's not at all wanting to make money. But it makes sense. It's true with things like, I mean, the biggest example would be Star Wars. People are always going to go see a Star Wars film. So you bring back Star Wars.
Go see a Star Wars.
I love Jessica Walter. I'm so sad. You bring out Episode 7 in 2015 of Star Wars, and it's like, yeah, it's time. But like, did George of the Jungle...
And then you bring out Episode 9 in 2019, and people go, time's up.
Time's up. no one's going to see George of the Jungle in 1997, was it? Because of
30 years after the show came out.
Because of the show. Kids don't know about it, and it's so weird. So it can't be a marketing decision to keep reviving this property. It must be like someone wants to make a Jungle Man movie that isn't Tarzan, which is public domain. And
what? And also, George of the Jungle came out 2 years before Tarzan as well, which is insane. That it's like, yeah, it's Disney parodying themselves before they did the serious one.
Yeah.
Because I mean, obviously, Tarzan, the Edgar Rice Burroughs idea and novel, or series of novels, I guess. Like you said, it's in the public domain. It's kind of like it's a tried and true idea. It's a idea in the public consciousness. But you know, Disney's one is like kind of there's like shared imagery between them of them, like in the second one, I think it is though, where he's like sliding along the tree vines, but he's like, oh, my feet are getting hot, and it's like, This is you're making fun of Tarzan.
The end of the second film is him doing the sliding along the
son of man.
The tree branch, and it's like, you know how like the Disney's Tarzan famously like invented a new way to animate to do that scene of it's like that, but it looks horrible, and Angus T. Jones is swinging past on vines, but they've clearly filmed it on him swinging on a green screen, and they haven't matched like the angle and lighting properly, and it looks horrible. Speaking of which, the CGI in George of the Jungle 2 is like some of the worst like CGI in terms of when there's like supposed to be a CGI animal in the same plane as live action. It's like some of the worst CGI I've ever seen.
It's very funny.
One thing that I want to talk about, Richard, and I want to this is me clamoring to find something intelligent to talk about with George of the Jungle franchise. I want to read a dissertation or something that's like, or maybe even write one that's like, the depiction of colonization and indigenous people in George of the Jungle, because I think the most interesting thing about these movies is that in both movies there's like a tour guide troupe of like African, like native African people, and it would be very easy in a movie from this time period to sort of ignorantly portray these characters and what we would now see
as savages.
Yeah, and see it now as a problematic light. But it doesn't. It's these movies, both these movies are very much on the right side of the subtle racial conversation it's having. You know, it doesn't go into it, but like the guides are depicted as the smart, funny and more definitely more likable characters than like Lyle, who's a dumb rich white man. And there's a scene in the first one where he like tries to show them his amazing, you know, he thinks that they only have primitive technology, so he's showing them like his camera and stuff, and they know more about cameras than him. And I thought I just thought that was cool that it has that it has the foresight to be like, no, the rich white Americans are the dummies here.
Yeah.
You know, and I really liked that.
Yeah.
And that is repeated in the second one as well.
Hmm. Speaking of intelligent, like, readings of things, I read something quite interesting. I just happened to stumble across this yesterday. It's for Tarzan, but it works for George of the Jungle. But why does Tarzan or George wear a loincloth? Obviously, you know, for the outside of the universe reason is that you want to cover up the actor's genitals, because otherwise the movie would be incredibly inappropriate. But you know, he was raised by apes. They don't wear clothes, and there's seemingly no reason. But the reason is this fan theory posits is that relative to other primates, humans actually have larger than average penises.
Hell yeah.
And average to smaller than average penises. Testicles. Relative to their body size, but the penis is much larger.
Not us though, right, Richard? A couple of big ball boys.
So Tarzan or George as a kid, even as a kid, would have been larger than his ape friends, and so is probably just relentlessly bullied at ape school for having a big dong.
Aww.
And that's why he covers up.
That's really sad.
Mm.
But you know, George of the Jungle is packing, bro.
It's Brendan Fraser.
These movies sexualize him so much. It's insane that these are kids' movies. Like, if this was gender swapped, there'd have to be a lot more. Well, they wouldn't have to be, but there would be a lot more conservative portrayals of someone raised in the jungle, I think.
Of the female gaze.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, there's a famous scene in the first one where Brendan Fraser has just got out of the shower after they go back to San Francisco, and, like, one of Ursula's friends walks in and sees him, like, standing there naked, and he's, like, glistening, and he's got, like, rippled abs, and it's like, Jesus Christ.
The dong down to the floor.
This is a kid's movie? This looks like it's out of, like, Porn for Her.
Sex and the City.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, there's something about, like, the setting of it being, like, in a American city and something like the stuff like that. It's like... It feels over the top, I'll say.
Samantha's landed herself a jungle man.
I couldn't help but wondering, maybe I was off the jungle, I don't know. I kept telling George to watch out for the tree, but maybe I needed to watch out for me. There you go. That was better.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you very much.
There's a scene in the second one, Richard, where it's in the climax and everyone's doing their bit to fight the environmentalists. No, they are environment. They're fighting the people trying to destroy the environment. And he faces off against two female henchmen, and they're like attacking him. And he says, he makes a comment about how he doesn't want to hit a lady. And then they hit him, and he says the line, something like, George now realize he have to hit woman. It's like that. And I was like, why did you write yourself into a corner where you had to say that line? What a strange place to put it. And then he doesn't actually beat them up.
Well, I think it's a good lesson for kids that it is okay to hit.
And then a kangaroo
I think the rule shouldn't be don't hit women. It should just be don't hit anyone.
Right.
Have you ever been in a fight?
No.
Neither. Not like a proper one. But I do remember one time where this girl who I knew, and so we were like standing outside course. It was like it was when I was doing acting, so it was like some night performance or something like that. Me and a few guys were standing around, and this girl who we knew was like antagonizing the guys across the street. Mm-hmm. I think they may have made some like catcall comment or something like that. And then she was like screaming at them and very much like trying to incite some kind of fight and said like, come over here then, we'll fuck you up. And it's like, you just walked over to us and now you're like trying to put us in this situation where you expect us to fight for you. And so one of the guys was like, you know, I'll fuck him up. And I was like, what is wrong with you children? And so then the guys came over and they got into this situation. So there was, it was like a four on four kind of thing or something like that. And there was this altercation and one of the guys like took a swing at me, which I just like leaned back and avoided. And then that was when, and then I think that, you know, they ended up just telling them to fuck off or they ended up leaving. And it was like, and people were like, oh, bro, like if you'd fucking landed that hit, like it would have gone, like we would have like gone to this massive brawl. And I'm like, no, like that's so stupid. Like, and that was actually when I was like, this is actually the most childish way to solve your problems. Right. And like, if we'd gotten into a fight just then, I would have been so ashamed of all of you. And myself, and yeah, it's there was like, and because we're walking to the bus stop, and because I was like, yeah, I didn't want to get into a fight, and they were like ribbing me, being like, oh, fucking pussy, like, you know, I would have smashed
those
guys.
And these are
like,
drama kids, Richard, that yeah, you take yeah. wanting to get into a fight. This doesn't sound like drama kids.
That's interesting. But yeah, there we go. Fighting is very childish. Don't hit anyone.
Thank you. How about this? At the end of George of the Jungle 2. So Ursula has been hypnotized to think that Lyle is her husband, and in the end the hypnotism is broken when George kisses her, and it's like, oh my god, he kissed her, that's so beautiful. But then at the end of the film, there are these three women who are depicted as like literally in a parody of Charlie's Angels when they're introduced, have also been hypnotized, and they need to break the hypnotism. And so then there's a scene where George has these three women lined up and he romantically kisses each of them as Ursula watches on clapping, and one of them goes back for seconds, and I was like, someone got a boner writing this scene.
I thought that scene was very funny because it's like he kisses his wife and it's like, wow, a kiss from George was all it took to break the spell. And it's not because he's in true love. It's just, has to be specifically George.
Right.
That's so funny.
I think the problem is that all the players in the scene are very like sexy. They're like sexy.
They're all attracted to George.
And George is hot as well. Like even he's no Brendan Fraser, but sometimes he looks like Brendan Fraser. Sometimes he doesn't, depending on the angle. But there was a kinkiness to the scene that his like wife's watching and they're in the jungle. Everyone's wearing jungle attire.
But then because the one that goes back for seconds, don't you worry about her because she does still get to get some. Because she ends up with an ape.
Mm. An ape named Ape. And they're apparent
named Ape.
Tiny gorilla penises.
Yeah, but gigantic gorilla balls.
This is our second franchise in which ends with, one of the movies ends with the bad guy getting sexually assaulted by a gorilla.
Did you know I was going to mention that, or I thought about that, but I was like, I know there's at least, because what one are you thinking of? What's the other one?
Ace Ventura 2.
Ace Ventura 2. But then also, it's not a gorilla, but in the American Pie Book of Love, that ends
a
with
moose.
The moose sexually assaulting.
Yeah, so I mean, and this one, it's not as intense as those other two movies, but a gorilla kisses Lyle and pulls him away to a bush. And then actually in the second one as well, a gorilla kisses Ursula's mum as well to distract her. Great above board stuff for Disney's George of the Jungle.
All right, well, I mean, we're almost ready to move on to the segments. This is going to be a nice tight episode of the podcast. You might have heard of the Release the Snyder Cut movement, which was a successful movement to release Zack Snyder's version of the Justice League. Have you heard of the Release the Wiseman Cut?
I've not. Tell me more.
Movement. Well, it's according to the external links on the Disney Wiki, that mistake is theirs, not mine. There is a change.org petition to release the Sam Wiseman cut of George of the Jungle. So this, this was from 4 years ago, and the petition was closed with 12 supporters. So George of the Jungle has been a complete success in the box office for theaters to be released in July 16th, 1997. That's a weird sentence. But there are some missing scenes and footage where there are rough cuts from the film and some deleted scenes because of some images we found on the Disney Wiki. So we could ask the director, Sam Wiseman, to see if he can find all the lost footage and the composers, Sheldon Allman and Mark Shaman, to be rehired or to reset the music score in different or still in the same order and new score treatments to go along with it. Even with the editor, Kent Bader, who will be an honor to release the director cut once he had found all the footage and put them all together to make this film into a true actual version. Please consider signing in this petition to get the release of the director's cut of George of the Jungle as our goal to reach, even if you are a fan of this film. Thank you.
This is even worse than Snyder Bros. It's probably a movie that deserves a director's cut a lot less, but they're not as toxic, I guess. It's crazy that there's enough of a fan base for George of the Jungle or Wiseman to want to release this at all.
Right, you consider 12 people a fan base?
Yes, I have to. It's the only way. We've lasted a podcast for 6 seasons.
Very cool. All right, so we've kind of already gone over the Continue the Franchise that already exists. Mm. So
there is kind of a, I don't know, I feel like we need to mention Dudley Do-Right, because it's so close to being like
I don't think we have to.
I'm going to mention it. It's so close to being the dinner for schmucks to George of the Jungle's Meet the Parents, because Dudley Do-Right is also a Jay Ward cartoon that was adapted into a film which stars Brendan Fraser, and I'm pretty sure there's like a wacky narrator. I'm pretty sure it has all the same. It's the exact
and
same.
And also, it also stars Eric Idle, another Monty Python.
There you go. It has all the same, like, yeah, accoutrement and delivery package as George
I've
of the
seen
Jungle.
Dudley Do-Right before.
Mm. And I had assumed for years that it was like, yeah, we made George of the Jungle and then we made Dudley Do-Right, and this is the sequel to
like
George. Zathura.
Cat in the Hat, the Grinch.
Yeah, or Zathura and Jumanji kind of thing. Like, yeah. I thought it was that sort of situation. A spiritual sequel or a spiritual follow-up. But then I looked into it, because we were talking about this in the Discord, and I couldn't be further from the truth. Not only is Dudley Do-Right not Disney, but on the cover and like the marketing for it was like from the director who saw George of the Jungle was one of its big things.
Yeah, it says the different studios, but it says from the creator of George of the Jungle and the star of George of the Jungle and the acclaimed director who saw George of the Jungle.
There you go. And it's very much, I don't know how they got away with it. It almost feels like it's plagiarism, because it's like essentially taking the style of a different movie starring the same person based on a cartoon by the same guy. Repackaging.
What have they done that like would infringe on copyright?
You're right. There? No, that's what I'm saying. Is like it's the strange little thing where it feels more related than it is. The only thing I remember from Dudley Do-Right was when I'm calling you, will you answer too? It's like a yodel that they sing at heaps. And I feel like the horse is named Horse or something like that. Like, it's got another similar element. I feel like it's the same movie. It's got Brendan Fraser and it's Jay Ward. It's crazy. Anyway, I just wanted to give a nod to that. Would be a great it would be a great example of how to cross over our two Patreon shows. It's both arguably a good generic movie podcast and arguably film franchise follow-ups, though maybe less so. But yeah,
hot damn. Yeah, whatever happened to Brendan Fraser, huh?
Has that been documented anywhere?
Has anyone else made a big deal about Brendan Fraser and where he went? I know he's in Doom Patrol. He voices a character in Doom Patrol, and he was in a couple of other TV shows. But he's also he's in Darren Aronofsky's new film. You know about that?
No, what is it?
It's called The Whale. It's about a 600-pound middle-aged man named Charlie who tries to reconnect with his 17-year-old daughter. Brendan Fraser is playing Charlie.
Oh, nice. That sounds cool.
The two grew apart after Charlie abandoned his family for his gay lover who later died. Charlie then went on to binge eating out of pain.
All right. So a spiritual successor to George of the Jungle then.
All right, what's your continue the franchise?
George of the Jungle 3.
This is a 3. Segment where we pitch a continuation of the franchise.
George of the Jungle 3. Get someone else. I couldn't give a shit. What I think is strange about this series is that at the start of the first one, it's like they make a big deal about how the baby got lost, and they're like, they could not protect their most precious cargo. And you go, like any other movie goes, so it's about George rediscovering his lineage and finding his family. No, it's not about that. And the sequel's not about that either. So that's what I'm pitching for the third one, as George finds his parents. It feels like that's like literally just like a loose end that wasn't tied up from the first film. It's just that it wasn't presented as like emotionally devastating, even though it would have been, to have lost your baby in the jungle.
All right. My continue the franchise is called George's of the Jungle.
No.
Yes.
Oh my god.
And it stars Brendan Fraser and the Shaoman guy.
Wow, he'll be so stoked to get the work.
All he's known got for is his roles in George of the Jungle 2 and George's of the Jungle.
I was going to say, all he's got is Doom Patrol. Little switcheroo.
But yeah, and you would have a joke that's like, and we're back with George, and then it's like the Shaoman, and then it's like, what's this? And it's like, Brendan Fraser needed paycheck.
Yeah. I had a false memory of Brendan Fraser actually playing himself in a cameo in George of the Jungle 2. When they're in the casino.
Are you thinking of Looney Tunes Back in Action?
Yes, and that's that scene's in a casino as well, isn't it? Or in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and that's he doesn't. That was kind of why he, I think, maybe wasn't approached, or his agent turned it down, or something like that, because he was already committed to that.
Right. That's Looney totally Tunes. What I'm thinking of. That's funny. Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Good. Two great little average as continue the franchises that we'll forget in a couple of days. Great job.
I thought my one was good.
It's as good as my one. Well done, man. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I am proud of you.
All right. Well, now it's time. Fuck, not even hit the hour mark yet. This is good. This is podcasting. We are going to do a little game called Franchise Roulette.
We need to rank that franchise. We haven't ranked that franchise. Look, I'm on the website. We've got a letterbox list of all the franchises we've ever watched, and we're just going to rank it with the rest of them. It'll take a second. Okay, it's fine. There's 124 franchises. Let's chuck. I reckon George of the Jungle exists somewhere around Big Fat Liar, which is at 113, beneath Jingle All the Way and above Bring It On. Is this sounding like a good area for George of the Jungle? I reckon below,
it's better than
below. Bring It On is 300. I reckon above 300, but below Bring It On.
Sure,
sweet, it's done. It is the 115th best franchise we've ever watched.
Okay, trying to find out when was the last time we randomly chose a franchise. I think it was Three Colors in November. Mm. So wow, yeah, it's been a long time.
Damn, Barbie,
coming. So we've turned this into a little game where I'm going to randomly, I'm going to pull out my little random number generator, we are going to, we've got a list of every franchise you can think of, and we're going to, I'm going to
Your dog has been making several appearances.
Oh, he's so loud.
In this episode.
Yeah. He's not mine.
Okay, well, I didn't want to go into that.
I just live with a dog.
Yeah.
Just flirting together. But, yeah, so.
It's like a BoJack Horseman situation with anthropomorphized humans. I live with
a random
dog.
Number generator. And then that's going to correlate to a franchise on this list, and whatever it lands on, we're going to... Oh, my God. I
heard
that.
Did one. What was it? 17?
No, it wasn't. So, okay, here we go. Randomly generating a franchise.
54.
Did you hear that?
74.
No, it was 54.
Really? I swear that it's like a Yanny Laurel situation.
Okay, well, let's do another one then.
No, 54's fine.
Okay, all right, okay. Okay, so time to guess this franchise, AJ.
Okay.
It's a trilogy.
Thank God. That's the best news I've heard all day.
It's from the same studio.
It's a Disney trilogy.
It's animated.
Okay. Did all of them go to theaters?
No, just quite the opposite.
Just the first one.
Just the first one.
Okay.
Let me double check. Oh, fuck. Oh, Disney's. just to say it.
And now guess what it is.
I just want to check what the sequels are, because I'm not 100% sure, but here we go.
And there's not a live action remake?
Not yet.
Not yet. Don't do that.
There was a clue. It's the director video sequels. One is a sequel, one is a prequel.
Okay, are we talking like classic, like Disney princess kind of shit? Like,
yes.
Okay. Renaissance era.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Disney princess. Is it Beauty and the Beast? No, it can't be.
It was. That was the next. That was the one below. That's 55.
Okay, it's... No, it's... It's a princess, not a...
Yeah.
Okay.
An actual princess as well.
An actual princess. Oh, geez. I've no idea what... I'm at a total loss for what it could be. Is it The Little Mermaid? Mm.
It is The Little Mermaid. I was going to say, there's a character who famously has a boner in it.
The Little Mermaid. no, I thought I was going to guess The Little Mermaid a couple of minutes ago, but then you said prequel, and I was like, I don't think there's a prequel, but there totally is, isn't there?
Little Mermaid 2, Return to the Sea, and
I've
The Little
seen
Mermaid,
it.
Ariel's Beginning.
I've seen Return to the Sea. Isn't that great?
Wow. So, sorry, loser fans who were hoping for us to get an ape-related franchise.
April.
You're not getting one.
I mean, we did just have one, so...
Yeah, but maybe. Yeah, there's a movement among our fan base of 12 people to make this coming month, or the current... No, not the current month. The next month, April, into... April, and make us do a bunch of ape related content, but that'll be bleeding over onto Patreon, where you can find us www.patreon.com/cultpopshire. And yeah, I think we over there we do a couple other podcasts. For $5 a month, you can listen to Film Producer Follow Ups, where we watch and review some other piece of content, something we would talk about and continue the franchise on an episode, whether that's already out or isn't a movie, so we don't cover it on this podcast.
And whether it's a Barbie book or a Barbie TV show or another Barbie movie,
yeah, we are getting a new Barbie movie,
a Barbie Forever.
So I'll probably do that. Yeah, and then there's also Generic Movie Podcast, where we cover, for $10, we cover one film without sequels, which is suggested by the Patreon. Mm. And so I think, yeah, you can probably expect some ape-related film for that.
And look, The Little Mermaid is maybe hilariously as far away from apes as maybe you could have got, like in terms of the animal spectrum, I guess. But maybe George of the Jungle can be an honorary April entry.
Yeah.
And so it's you know, April extends beyond the, human reaches of the month itself. It defies the moon. April defies the moon. Yeah, so you can also join our Discord if you want to talk about all this. This will be in the show notes below. And we're also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. We have two YouTube channels. One is for our video essays. That's called Cult Popture. And we've got another one where we post this podcast and other stuff, including our movie club, which is also a Patreon thing. And that channel has recently been renamed again to Cult Popture. Again, it was Cult Popture 2, T-O-O, but as I'm sure you can imagine... that just bore more confusion. And before that, it was the Cult Popture podcast, and I wanted to change it so that it was less has to be the podcast and it can be other stuff, such as a video we filmed to celebrate our 50th patron that has yet to come out. We should probably get that released sometime soon. Yeah, we're also on TikTok. There's a Cult Popture TikTok. I'm also on TikTok, AJ from Cult Popture. If you want to see the only place where I'm objectively doing well on the internet. and yeah, I mean, join us at all these places. Message us. Tell us what you thought of George of the Jungle. And also stay tuned for yet another Patreon thing after this music playing under us stops. Which will be a post-credits scene, and we'll see you on the other side. Kia ora.
Bye.
Ooh.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the post-credits scene. This is, of course, a scene where if you donate $5 or more over at patreon.com/coldpopshire, you get to give us something to talk about in this, the post-credits scene. And today's post-credits scene comes to us from Ben Close, who asks, he wants us to talk about, Richard, he says, do you think there should be a best title award at the Oscars? And who should be nominated? I'm glad you added that second part, because my answer to the first part is probably not.
No, I don't think there should be.
No, I don't think there needs to be a best title award, but I'm happy to talk
maybe
about...
Maybe the MTV Movie Awards.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's a good idea. I'm happy to
talk
about...
Or there
should
be, like, the Titleys, like, an award ceremony
that,
every
we should
year
do that.
That, like...
we should do
and that.
That
would... but you, so you'd have, like, best pun title, best one-word title, you know, all these different things.
Yeah.
And best title bomb, obviously. Yep. That would be the big award of the night.
Let's do this at the end of the year, dude. Let's do the best Titleys awards. I love that. That's so great. I can talk about, well, I mean, fuck, let's just call it there. I think we've just mined a podcast episode out of this concept.
Thank you, Ben.
All right, see you later, everybody. Good. I was going to go into my favorite titles, but now I'm like, well, no, I should save them. Oh, if it's for the year, I guess maybe I can. One title, when people ask me what's a good title, one I always go to is The Men Who Stare at Goats is one of my favorite movie titles, because I think it's a great movie title because it it's about something, but it tells you in a different way, because that movie is about, like, telekinesis. But the way that telekinesis is discovered is by staring at a goat until it explodes or something like that. So it's a cool way to, like, enigmatically advertise what the movie is about.
Speaking of good titles, I want to take this opportunity, actually, to re-defend my... what I said about Barbie in the Pink Shoes as a title.
Okay.
Because I think I didn't make 100% clear what I meant. And I've had a few people be like, yeah, wonder about it. And it's the idea is, I think, to me, that Barbie in the Pink Shoes, if you're treating that like a Criterion Collection film title, you know, so, like, name in the color item of clothing. There's something so interesting about that as, like, a titling scheme, because the bright color of the shoes kind of tells you a lot about the character. And also the fact that, like, if you imagine, you know, you're referring to someone, if I'm like, oh, AJ, have you met Barbie in the Pink Shoes? That's like the fact that you're identifying this person by an item of their clothing tells you that, like, that's a big statement they're making with this item of clothing. And I think, the fact that they're called Barbie in the Pink Shoes tells you a lot about that character, for, like, in all these kind of subtle ways. It tells you, like, how characters refer to them. And, yeah, I think there's just something so fascinating about that as a titling scheme, as a way to refer to a character. And it's not, like, it's not just the fact that she's wearing them. It's all those other kind of deeper things. And it sounds art housey to me.
And it's not just that it's how characters refer to them. It's the fact that the storyteller is using this as the signifier for the character.
Mm.
So if your film is called Barbie in the Pink Shoes, what the storyteller is communicating to you is that this is important in some way. And that way could be because it emphasizes that, you know, maybe the Criterion Collection version of Barbie in the Pink Shoes, which is not the movie we saw, but it's some parallel.
Yeah.
Movies,
yeah.
It tells you that this is maybe this character is more eccentric than those around her. That sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like because pink is like, you know, it's a no one wears pink color for shoes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, or if you imagine like Emily in the Red Dress, like that's like you'd be like, oh, I mean, I guess that kind of just reminds you of Emily in Paris. I just use that because it's my sister's name, and she's, I think she can hear me recording this podcast.
this would be a great anecdote if we had a specific example of a film.
Yeah, like that's the thing. I can't think of a film that does it, but
I can think of female name arty. And then like a statement about them, like Hannah Takes the Stairs, or was someone gets the fuck across.
Brittany Runs a Marathon. Oh yeah, what's that name? The movie, I've seen it.
Yeah,
the
fuck across town. Yeah, so there's precedent for like name and then interesting thing about them, but you don't know why it's interesting. It's only interesting because of itself, because it's in the title.
Yeah,
which is sort of what I think.
I just like that. Yeah, the name description is just a cool title for me.
Yeah, I agree.
And so that's why it's not because it's like Barbie and the Nutcracker. Oh, she's in the Nutcracker. It's like there's a deeper, like, what describing someone by an item of their clothing says about that person.
To be clear, Barbie in the Pink Shoes doesn't do this. It's an arbitrary title because pink sells DVDs. But good point. Cool.
Mm.
So the best titles, Ben, The Men Who Stare at Goats and Barbie in the Pink Shoes.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.